Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. Good evening. It's Wednesday night. Time for Words of Wisdom. And I'm your host, Diane Adams, a servant of God. It's always an honor and a privilege to go before the people of God, where God has allowed this opportunity for us to come together. God said he never intended for us to go alone, and that's why he created us. He made family units. He gave us church organizations to go to, the fellowship with believers. He gave us the kingdom of heaven here on earth, so that we could fellowship one with another, be held up by one another, give encouragement to one another, and pray for one another. God knew what he was doing. But we have to take advantage and realize what God is doing in our lives. Because once we began to believe it, we could achieve it. Tonight is an exciting night, and every Wednesday night is exciting to me. And by you guys keep calling back, taking time from your busy schedule, it is apparent that you feel the same way. And for that, I say glory, hallelujah, be unto God. Tonight is the first Wednesday night in the month of August, 2021. It only seemed like the year began just yesterday. And we are already in the 8th month of this year. God is doing his thing. And we have to just understand it and hold on to his unchanging hand. Tonight is the first Wednesday, and every first Wednesday, we have our prayer warrior pray after the song has gone up. But before I let the prayer warrior pray on tonight, I'm asking you guys to think of anybody you want to lift their names up in prayer. Others, yourself, situations, whatever it is. And we'll give them to her before she prays. But tonight, our title of our lesson is, Heaven is a Prepared Place for a Prepared People. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. We coming out of the book of John, the 14th chapter, verses 1 through John. We are coming from John, the 14th chapter, verses 1 through 3. As always, I play a song. I thought this song is very appropriate for what we are going to do on tonight. And I want you to listen to the words. And the name of the song is I'm Getting Ready. So I'm going to play the song, and then we're going to come back and go to God's throne of grace. Pray for our Bible study tonight. Pray for one and another as we explore the Word of God together tonight.
Eyes haven't seen, and ears haven't heard, the kind of blessings that's about to fall on me. Victory is here. Kick the feet out the door. God's doing a new thing. Yeah. Get ready for overflow. 'Cause I'm getting ready. Something I've never seen. Prophesy over your life, say.
Something
I've
yo. Beach house vibes, maneuver the jet ski. Cause I serve a god that parted the Red Sea. Multi-million dollar commercials for Pepsi. From food stamps to more ice than Gretzky. I don't gotta talk, the Lord defends me. I watch them all fall for going against me. Cause me and all my angels shot the devil up. While you was trying to pull me down, I leveled up. I leveled up twice, I leveled up three times. He tapped them and told them she's mine. So even when I cried, I knew I'd be fine. Prepared for a miracle blessing in these times. I praise them, raise them, name it, claim it. Every tongue that rises up against me, shame it. I breathe success in and out my lungs. Got the power of life and death coming out my tongue.
A question. First of all, you have to believe that God has more than you can imagine for you. And then you got to get ready. Like the title of our lesson tonight is, heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. And God is preparing us for our heavenly home, but he's also giving us everything we need here. He's giving us joy and peace. He's taking care of all of our needs. He's bringing us from glory to glory and level to level. But you got to believe it to achieve it. And at this time, it's time for us to go to the throne of grace. And if anybody has any prayer requests that they would like to have lifted up, you can say it at this time. Press the one button on your phone so I could open your mic if you have a prayer request. Well, I got a call today. I was on a call today. They have a man, his fiance, and a little baby. I got a call yesterday, and I got one today. Yesterday, I was told that a two-year-old is suffering with the Delta virus. And today, we got a two-month-old baby that's suffering with the virus. Y'all, we have to pray. We can't control the virus. We can't change what is happening. But we could go to God as intercessors on behalf of others and ask God for his mercy and his grace. No one is requesting prayers, but I'll request a prayer for the families all around the world, that we could come together in unity and truly learn how to love on one another as God has established for us to do. So remember the pandemic. We see that the younger children is getting it now, 2 months old. Can you imagine that baby suffering like that?
Mm-hmm.
And a two-year-old is getting younger and younger. But God is able. And at this time, I'm going to turn it over to our prayer warrior. Sister Pam, your line is open.
Good evening, everybody. Tonight is August the 1st, 2021, and this is our prayer list. Kathy Hartman, on the passing of her husband, Jim Hartman, Marguerite Singleton, Stephen Nguyen, Minister Diane and family, Diane McBride and family, the Nguyen family, Zabride Williams, Mr. George, Sylvester Daniel, Gabrielle Muffin Moore, Chantel Broke, Anika Drew, Emma Turner, Lee Calhoun, Tyrone Coleman, Azariah Hurd, Minister Paula Cloud, Vanessa Laurent, Vanessa Humphrey, the Moses and Mitchell family, Beverly Ferguson, Florida Kasia, Elizabeth Bias, Spencer Moore, Margie Bridges, Larry Bridges, Sandra Bridges, all those that are suffering from the coronavirus, all our homeless all over the world, those that are behind prison walls, all those that are suffering from mental illnesses, and our Bible study family. I will bless the Lord at all times, for his praise shall continually to be in my mouth. Heavenly Father, I come on this first Wednesday night in August just to say thank you. Thanking you, O God, tonight for life. Thanking you, Lord Jesus, for allowing us the opportunity to come together on one accord for prayer and worship. Father God, I come right now lifting up the names of all of my brothers and sisters that's on our prayer list that comes in asking for prayer. Oh, Father God, I don't know what their needs are, but, oh, Lord, I know that you know. And I just pray that you supply their every need. God, I just want to thank you for your love. I thank you, oh, Lord, for your grace and for your mercy. Lord, I just can't thank you enough. I thank you, oh, Lord, for all that you've done for me. I thank you, Father God, for this Bible study. I ask you to continue to pray and bless this Bible study. Lord, I thank you for our minister in Christ and our teacher, Minister Diane Adams. Lord, I pray that you continue to use her in a mighty way. Father God, we just give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. In the sweet, holy name of Jesus Christ, amen and thank God.
Amen, my sister. I want to thank you, Sister Pam, for your faithfulness. I want to thank you for keep showing up and supporting this ministry as our intercessor in prayer. God bless and keep you always.
Thank you.
Well, I'm going to say the title of the lesson one more time because others has joined the line. And we're going to go and expound on the word of God together for tonight. The title of our lesson is, Heaven is a Prepared Place for a Prepared People. John chapter 14, 1 through 3. And I always give a little background. And for some reason, I decided to give you an analogy using a Jewish wedding customs so you could understand and see how God does things that is already established. See, God instituted marriage. And the rules and the regulation, how it was governed, God did. So when we talk about this lesson tonight, you could see that God used what's already in place. And we could see what Jesus Christ is going to do for us, how it correlates together. So I want you to know in the Bible, the church is sometimes metaphorically understood to be Jesus' bride. You know, we say that we are the church. Where we fellowship is the church building. But we are the church. And being the church, and we join as Christians, we made up the body of Christ. The body of Christ is Christ's bride. And he's coming back for his bride. You see, I want you to know, first of all, it's all by God's grace, all things through Christ Jesus. Because Revelation 19:7 says, let us rejoice and exult and give him the glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. You see, when I got that scripture, it lets us know that heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. The scriptures say the bride has made herself ready. You see, when we look at the Jewish marriage, you see, the groom takes a token or a dowry, and his value must be known to the bride. Because you see, in all cases, the wife can only be acquired by the groom with her consent. See, this is just like us with Jesus. When we accept Jesus Christ, we become the bride of Jesus. Hallelujah, y'all. And only those who consent, confess and believe, can become the bride. So even then and even now with us in Jesus, we have to consent. And you see, then a marriage contract or covenant is then established. And from the moment the bride, from that moment, the bride is sanctified or set apart exclusively for her bridegroom. You see, even when someone becomes someone today and they say they get married and that's their fiance. You know, that groom wants his intended bride to be presentable. He don't want her to be doing anything. He wants her to be set apart and being sanctified to the marriage that's going to be. Well, that's just like Jesus. Jesus is sanctifying us daily here on earth. You see, Jesus is sanctifying his bride by setting us apart. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. And he's doing it daily. You see, it is customary for the groom and the bride to drink from a cup of wine over which a betrothal has been made. And a betrothal is the engagement period. But in the Jewish culture, when a man betrothals himself and she betrothals herself to the man, even though they're not married, once you enter into that agreement, it's like you're married. And there's a period of time before the wedding is executed. But during that time, if someone have a reason or find a fault and they decide they don't want to be married, they have to get a real divorcement contract to be separated. Y'all remember with Mary was betrothed to Joseph, and the incident came up where Mary was pregnant and Joseph couldn't comprehend it until the angels came and talked to him. Joseph said, this can't be. I know I wasn't with her. He said, so, you know, That baby got to be for somebody else. He said, I know it ain't mine. And then Joseph, with the guidance of the angel, understood that it was a masculine conception arranged by God. But Joseph, being a gentleman that he was, he said, I'm going to put her away nicely. He wasn't going to make no fuss and wasn't going to go publicize her shortcomings. But he would put her away privately with a divorce. But it didn't happen that way. But that's how serious a betrothal or engagement was. You see, this prenuptial process can be seen as symbolic of Christ's work on our behalf. This is the thing. Jesus left his home in heaven. You see, when a man betrothed himself to his wife, the bridegroom, would leave his father's house and go prepare a home for his bride. You see, Jesus left the home of his father, which was in heaven. I know y'all know Jesus was in heaven before he came to earth. And he traveled to the home of his prospective bride. The bride's home is here on earth to purchase her for a price. Because you see, they had to pay. We talked about the dowry. And you would pay a dowry for your bride. But Jesus paid the price for the bride of Christ, hallelujah, y'all, with his blood. You see, his bride has joyously consented to the agreement. When we accepted Christ, we became the bride of Christ. And the scripture always told us Jesus is coming back for his bride. And you see, the bridegroom had to give the bride a gift. Come on, y'all. A priceless token. And that's what the Jewish bridegroom would do for the bride. But in the analogy of Jesus as our bridegroom, the gift that he gave us was the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. See, when this happened, it established a new covenant. Jesus' bride is being sanctified for him. Come on, y'all. You see, the two stages of marriage, the betrothal, which is engagement, the contract is agreed on that they will sanctify themselves one for another. And that's what should happen in our engagement these days. But we know it's not always the truth. And the commencement of the marriage, the word is translated meaning elevation. They're lifted up when the marriage happens. You see, it is a binding contract in which the woman is legally considered the wife of the man. It was routine in Jesus' day to be separated by as much as a year. They would be engaged, betrothed for a year. And you see, during that time, the bridegroom would construct the marriage home. See, Jesus is doing it right. Many people get married and don't have nowhere to live. Betrothed to one another, and they take that time to get in position to be right, to be able to take care of a woman, to be able to have a place for a woman. You see, this too can be viewed for spiritual truth. You see, because after sealing the covenant with the church, Jesus ascended to his Father's home to prepare a dwelling place just prior to his death. If you're wondering when Jesus walked the earth and he died after 3 years, you wonder why. Because he had work to do. Because he said he would come back for his bride, and he had to go back and prepare a place for her. So where he was, she could be also. Hallelujah, y'all. And Jesus told this to his disciples. You see, according to Jewish marriage law, when the time came for the groom, he would return for his bride, accomplished by male escorts. That's what happened in the Jewish custom. Y'all remember the parable of the five virgins and how some of them had prepared for the bridegroom when he came. They had so many that was wise and so many was foolish because you don't know when the bridegroom is going to come back. Don't that seem like Jesus? No one knows the time or the hour, but you got to be ready. And when the bridegroom in the parable came back for the bride, they had to walk to meet him, and it was dark, and they didn't have street lights, so they would carry a lamp with oil in it. The wise brides had oil in their lamps, so they could figure their way through. The foolish brides was doing anything and everything they wanted to do, except doing what was necessary. They had their priorities screwed up. Y'all know if I'm talking about anybody, you might know. So the bridegroom came, hallelujah, and he blew the horn, saying it's time. The male escorts in the Jewish marriage wedding. That's just like Jesus. We don't know the exact time when he's coming back. But the church bridegroom, talking about Jesus, is going to come back with a loud shout, just as well as the bridegroom in the Jewish tradition did. And we know of this as the rapture. And the bridegroom has been separated from his bride. In the Jewish custom, they could do it for a year or a little better. But our bridegroom has been separated from us for over 2,000 years. But one day he's coming back for his bride, all those who accepted him as their Savior. And he's going to snatch us from the earth to meet him in the air. Y'all know the book of Thessalonians talk about that. But we don't know the exact time it was happened. But the point is we must be ready and remain faithful. Hallelujah, y'all. Hallelujah. Jesus will be accomplished by an angelical escort preceded by a shout when he returns from the church. See, God used what was already in place to show us how he came up with. See, that's how you see the hand of God. When we look at these things and we see Jesus was on earth, but he had to go away to prepare the house, that was already established. And God used those customs. You got to remember when Jesus came on earth, Jesus was a Jew. Jesus followed the custom of the Jewish religion, Judaism. But he brought a more excellent way. So God didn't sit down and try to figure out stuff for us to believe. And you got to remember, he was talking to the Jewish nation. And when God did this, they could understand what he was talking about. And that's all I'm trying to do now is give you a little understanding to see how God used what was already in place. And we could take and put an analogy with it and see the differences and see the likeness. And there will be a marriage feast of the Lamb. And everybody that's a part of the body of Christ, which is compiled of the bride of Christ, is going to be at that wedding. And I can just imagine the magnificence. You think going coming to America, one had some beautiful sights. But imagine us being married to God and attending the marriage feast of the Lamb. the bridegroom, Jesus, and the church, the bride. Can you imagine? Just imagine a little bit. But that's what God has for us. Jesus left to go prepare a place for us. That way he would be, we would be also. And I use that to just show us how God decided what Jesus would do. He used what was already there in the culture so that everybody who heard it at that time and we can understand. Glory, hallelujah. And I'm going to do the verse at this time. Verse number one, say, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. I just want you to know that Jesus was talking to his disciples. I asked you to read the 13th and the 14th chapter, and you would have seen that they was at the Last Supper. And at the Last Supper, Jesus was telling them again, and Jesus had been talking to them all the while, that I haven't come to stay. But they had got used to Jesus, and they liked what Jesus was doing. Jesus had power. He had respect. And for the disciples being connected with Jesus, it gave them a little bit of, you know, prestige, and they was liking it, and they was, you know, glad to be a part of it. And Jesus is now telling them at the Last Supper, I have to go. I never came to stay. I came to teach, hallelujah, to be an example of how to really love. I came to do something for you you couldn't do for yourself. He's saying, I'm not going to be here. So the disciples in this 14th chapter was very unrest. They wasn't ready for Jesus to go anywhere, didn't fully understand why he had to go. So when Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled, you believe in God, believe also in me. Now, we are so familiar with this verse because this is a verse that is used most of the time for funerals. But when Jesus was telling them, let not your heart be troubled, he wasn't just talking about, and yes, he was talking about, I'm going to do something for you, and it's going to be better than what you got. But he also was telling them, you got to live on earth till I come back again. You see, when Jesus talked to them, they couldn't comprehend. But Jesus told them, I got to go. You see, this is a promise that Christ is the one who gives believers comfort. Here Jesus is trying to comfort his disciples. Not only in his future return, but he was letting them know in the present with the ministry of the Holy Ghost that he had given us. Jesus told his disciples he had to return to the Father. Hallelujah. He told them he would not leave them comfortless, but that the Holy Ghost would come. And Jesus told them, everything that I would do for you if I was still there, the Holy Ghost is able to do it. The Holy Ghost have a ministry. It has been given and ordained and designed by God. And look what Jesus tell them in there. When he said, let not, he's telling these disciples, you have it in your power to not be troubled. Do y'all believe that? Sometimes the first thing we do is step in the gate of trouble. And many times we get there and the realization hit us and we began to, you know, change. But he said, let not. Don't you let your heart be troubled. God said, I done gave you evidence of what I'm working with. I done told you wherever I guide, I'm going to also provide. I told you that I'm working all things out together for your good daily. He said, I told you that those weapons that form against you, they're not going to prosper. He said, I've told you and told you over and over again, I got this. So he said, you should find a way to not let your heart be troubled. He's saying, besides that, I'm coming back. Jesus specifically mentioned the heart. Because you guys got to know that the heart is where the issues of life is decided. You see, it appears from the very first verse that we have a power not to be troubled in our heart. You got to protect your heart, y'all. They have some situations that you know when you enter them situation with certain people and different things like that, you know it's going to be a ruckus. You can just avoid it. You know some people get on your last nerves and make you get out of your character. At all costs, if you can, avoid it. You know there's some people when you get with them, you see yourself saying and speaking like them. You know, I know some people don't curse, but unless they're around certain people. And I ain't saying cursing gonna bring you to the pits of hell. But it's a part of your character. And then you gotta know what the Bible teaches. Faith is the opposite of fear. Where there is true faith, fear cannot enter. Even when you're in fear and you realize and start operating in your faith, when faith shows up, fear is canceled. You see, if we trust God, we know that these things is going to work out for our good. Jesus knew that his disciples believed in God when he told them that, let not your heart be troubled. But you see, his concern was that their faith in him being the Messiah would be shaken when he was crucified. They might think it's all over. Because even though Jesus was teaching them about what he had in store for them, they didn't comprehend it. That's just like the song that played on the 90s. Said, eyes haven't seen and ears haven't heard all that God has in store for us. We can't fully comprehend the things of God, but we trust him. And if we continue to sanctify and separate ourselves, we will be showered with the blessings. Jesus saying, okay, I just want you to know, remember, I'm God in the flesh, and I'm also the Son of God. He said, don't let what seem like to be the end. You know how we have so many situations in our lives or have had situation when in our lives that we thought it was all over. Sometime our back was so tight against the wall, we couldn't see no way out. Sometimes some of the things we did, we thought would just take us out. You say, don't doubt who I am and what I've done and what I'm doing and what I promised to do for you. He said, you have the victory because it was accomplished with my death, burial, and resurrection. He said, I paid the dowry for my bride. I paid the full price. I gave the gift to my bride. I'm going back to my father's house, but I'm coming back. And then you see he goes on to speak. And in verse 2 and 3, he said, look at this. He said, in my father's house are many mansions. If it was not so, I would have told you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. 3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you will be also. Jesus wants us to know he chose us. Because if we look at John, the 15th chapter, the 16th verse, It reads, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit. See, that's a preparation. Jesus said, I chose you. You're my bride. I'm going to prepare for you. You got to stay on earth till I come back again. But you have to be preparing yourself because heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. He said, you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit shall remain, that whatsoever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give you. You see, Jesus is giving instructions for his bride to be prepared. And you see, even though we have all of these hardships and trials and tribulations and all of these things on earth, knowing the glorious eternity, the glories of eternity should motivate us to live for Christ during our time on earth. This is our preparation time, y'all, knowing that everything here on earth is only temporal and we ought to be about our Father's business. Come on, y'all, because only those things that we do for Christ going to last through eternity. See, the cars and the house and the money and the buildings and the this and the that and the prestige and the pride and the, y'all know what I'm talking about. It's all going to dissipate. It's all going to be burnt up with a fervent heat to prepare the way for Jesus, for his new kingdom here on earth. And we have to realize that this present time of suffering are not worthy to be compared to the glory that is to be revealed to us. You see, that's when we keep our sights on eternity. You know how we always say, keep your sights on things that eternal and hold on to God's unchanging hand. You see, our eternal salvation, our life in eternity is our hope. You know, everything is not going to happen on this side. Sometime I have to tell people with healing. Sometime they have a person that may have cancer. And yes, we do pray. And yes, God can heal. But when you see in the book of Isaiah, I think it's the 53rd chapter, it say, by his stripes we were healed. It didn't say we would be healed. So what that scripture was talking about was, we were healed of our spiritual debt. We were healed spiritually by Jesus. And God can heal physically, but not all healing is going to happen on this side. But oh, when you go to the place that God prepared for us, and even before we get that, because the scriptures say is Jesus is going to come and he's going to blow the horn and we're going to meet him in the end. Those that are in the grave that died in Christ, they're going to rise up first. And those, hallelujah, who's still living on the earth is going to be taken up with a twinkling in our eyes. And you see why we meeting Jesus in the air. We're going to be transformed from our corruptible bodies and placed on incorruptible bodies. You see, and in that incorruptible body, there will be no more sickness. There will be no more strife. There will be no more pain. There will be no more of none of this. And I have a little, I'm going to throw this in for Lanya. I want to let you know when you die, you're not going to even remember this life because the Bible says life and death does not intertwine. So people who fear death, you're not going to die and say, oh, I wish I could have saw my grandchild grow up. It's not going to be like that. Because you see, absent from the body is present with the Lord. You know, you're not going to worry about if you forgot to do your will. You're going to enter into a total bliss of rest. God ain't going to have you in a grave. People will say, Oh, your mama is turning over in her grave. God ain't letting your mama see your foolishness. She has entered into rest. But that's what people say. But I'm just letting you know tonight that everything is going to be made all right. There will be no physical ailments. There will be no tears. God will wipe away all of the tears. No more sickness, strife, and pain. And when you get your glorified body, you are healed from diabetes, from high blood pressure, from glaucoma, from heart disease. So you see, Jesus have a plan to make us whole. Our spiritual bodies will be glorious. No sickness, no pain. And you're going to live forever. And you got to remember this. If we could remember this, it would be good. But you see, it's hard for us to just hold on to this and let it be our way of thinking with everything. Because remember, when the difficulties of this life become burdensome, you got to remember that the only trouble and pain you'll ever experience has to happen here on earth in your earthly lifetime. It doesn't cross over. Hallelujah, y'all. And this is temporal. All your pain and strife and sufferings and financial problems, divorces and bad relationships, it's going to only happen here. It don't cross over. But what you're going to receive in heaven, it's going to be forever. The song that we played tonight said, eyes haven't seen and ears haven't heard, nor can it enter the hearts of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. You know, that's talking about when we get to heaven, because we can't comprehend it all. And the Bible gave us some glimpse, but it didn't tell us all, because that's some of the secret treasures of God. See, we ain't going to know everything on this side. And first of all, we couldn't comprehend it with our mind. If God wrote it down in plain English, three more books of the Bible just to describe heaven, our infinite mind couldn't comprehend it all anyway. And what God wrote is enough. And he reminds us, you don't have it all. He said, but when you receive your eternal life, it's a retirement and it's really out of this world. You just have to keep your sights on things that are eternal. He's saying, ears haven't seen what he got in store for you here on earth. Because you see, the more you submit unto God, the more he submit unto you. The more you follow God, the more God can operate in your life. You see, it depends on you, the blessing and the level and the seasons. But God is always ready to bring you to another level. He want to bring you to new glories and new heights. But you got to be willing, just like the bride in the Jewish custom. They said a bride have to accept what the groom is offering. In our earthly life down here, we have to accept what God is trying to do with us in our preparation as a people to go to heaven, which is a prepared place. As long as we remain here on earth, we have work to do because we are Christ's witnesses. It is our responsibility to tell others about the Savior. To let our light so shine that men can see the good works and glorify the Father. We have work to do, y'all. The Bible said that God created us as his workmanship. He created us for service here on earth. God has a kingdom here on earth, which is the kingdom of God where all believers dwell. It's not a place, so don't look for it. But it's a moral compass. It's a moral way of dealing in the world. We in the world, we not of the world. We should live by God's standard because the world live by the world's standards, which is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. So while we're here on earth, I want you to know that each day is an opportunity for you to prepare for your eternal home. It's so easy to get sidetracked, y'all, with the cares of this life. But what we do today will shape our experience in eternity. There's crowns, there's rewards, there's blessings. You know, God is doing things. You know, for Moses got a special place. Come on, y'all. You know, Abraham. Come on. And even though they got a special place there, God took care of them here. And that's what God wants to do for us. But what we do today will determine our experience in eternity. So let us spend our lives in faithful service to God, glorifying him by bearing much fruit and selflessly storing. Let us bear much fruit and storing up treasures in heaven. Remember, they say only what you do for Christ can last. Those things that you do for Christ going to go with you. And you got to remember this. God has commendation for his bride. And the commendation that the bride should want to receive is, well done, good and faithful servant. Me, myself, if I could hear God say that to me, it would all be worth it. It would be worth every earthly sacrifice that I could do. Because, you see, we have to go to the, all believers is going to go to the judgment seat of Christ, not the great white throne judgment. You got to know that, y'all. When you die, you know, if you're a Christian, you're going to the judgment seat of Christ. And at the judgment seat of Christ, it's not to determine if you're saved. If you get to the judgment seat of Christ, you are saved. So it will not be questioning your salvation or trying to determine your salvation, but it will be discussing your works. So let us prepare ourselves here on earth to receive all God has for us. When I leave this earth, I don't want to leave anything on the table. I want to receive all God had for me. I want God's intended purpose for my life to be fulfilled. I don't want to leave nothing on the table. I want to trust him so I won't let my heart be troubled. I want to do what's right so I don't have to be convicted about doing wrong. I want to walk in his stature. I want my light to shine. You see, that's preparation here on earth. I'm trying to not leave nothing on the table. You know, you're out of position. Sometimes you can't receive the blessing God has in store for you. I want to be in position to receive all that he has for me. Hallelujah. But you got to believe it to achieve it. And it is my goal that God be able to say, my good and faithful servant, well done. That's our lesson for tonight. And at this time, we could have any comments, questions, or concerns. Or you could do encouragement, or you could add something to the lesson, or anything you may want to at this time. Well, if there's nothing to be said at this time, we could go ahead and end with a benediction. And tonight, I'm just going to let us know that. And I'll read a benediction tonight. And I'm going to use Psalms 19 and 14. And the scriptures read, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. That's the benediction tonight coming from Psalms 19 and 14. And as always, it is my prayer that everybody be blessed until we meet again. And I pray that the peace of God be with us all until we meet again. If the Lord's will and your desire, we'll meet back next Wednesday at the 8:30 hour for Words of Wisdom, Plain and Simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams. Until then, be blessed. Good night, everybody.